discover that fantastic point where science and magic meet. Welcome to Healing with the Rainbow Rays. Your host is Alejandra, the internationally known healer, teacher, and author. Alejandra's website is www.colorhealing.com. Healing with the Rainbow Rays will inform, inspire, uplift, illuminate, and transform you. This show explores all the different metaphysical, self-help, ascension, and holistic realms of consciousness. And its underlying theme is the art of color energy healing. Here is Alejandra.
Hello and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the show. We have a new guest tonight, and I think you're going to really love her. We just have an hour show, so sit back and enjoy. I think you're going to really love what her message is. So let me give you a call-in number for those who want to come on to the switchboard. It's 347-945-6930. Again, that's 347-945-6930. Put up your hand if you would like to ask her a question, you know, as we get into it. We will take a break about halfway through, so prepare for a couple minutes there. And we do have the chat room open, and as I wander over the chat room, I see our Stephen holding down the fort, and we welcome everyone in the chat room. So, and of course, anyone that's listening in through the computer, and eventually, as you get the archive and you're listening to this, we also include you in that as well. So I have one just little webinar coming up at the end of this month, right after the Christmas holidays, just before New Year's. I'm going to do one again on color and the divas. This one's part two. I could probably do five or six on them. I don't know how far I'm going to go before I say, okay, let's go on to another subject. But I covered all the angelic realms and the Elohim and all that. Now it's time for the divas. We just did part one at the end of November. No, actually, it was the first day of December. And this one is December 29th, 5 o'clock Pacific time. You have to figure a couple hours there, but the actual thing's about an hour and a half. But we do share afterwards if you wish to do that. And, of course, there's an MP3. Even if you can't make it due to you're in some part of the world where it's in the middle of the night or, you know, you have to work or something like that, don't worry about it. If you sign up, you get the MP3 as though you were there. And when the MP3 does come out to you, it's cleaned up and music's added and that kind of thing. So that's the great thing is we always do a taping of it. So anyway, we're exploring elves and fairies and gnomes and mermaids and, you know, all of, as much as I can get in, of the Divas Nature Kingdom and so forth. So anyway, that's December 29th at 5 o'clock Pacific, so just figure your own time zone there. And we'd love to have you. If you're new, don't worry about, for example, not making it to part one. Of course, it is available if you wish to purchase it, but each one is sort of self-contained, meaning you can come on into it and you don't have to have the first part to enjoy the second part. But again, you can get the series if you want. Okay, so let me give out the number one more time before I do our intro, and that's 347-945-6930, 347-945-6930, and you can come into the chat room as well. If you have a question there, just let me know in the chat room what you would like to ask her. We'll try to, hopefully we'll have enough time. There's so much to get through in the short time. Hopefully we'll have time to pitch at least a couple questions to her that you might have. Okay, so anyway, her name is Dr. Edvige, and her lifelong dream was to be a singer, and she accomplished that with performances at Madison Square Garden and the 1998 Super Bowl. But Dr. Edvige's spiritual journey was equally ascendant, but very different and distinctive from her singing career. It began at the early age of 12, when she was often visited by what she refers to as benevolent beings of light. During that adventure, They took her flying amongst the stars, landing on a bridge, and diving into the depths of the ocean. She discerned that it was her destiny to be a bridge between heaven and earth. She discovered she was gifted by divine source the ability to clear energies that are blocking the flow of someone's higher self from moving fully into one's third dimensional body and consciousness. Her skills enable her to raise a person's vibration and frequency and to activate one's light body by triggering codes deep within that person's DNA. The light body activation that she performs restores a person's individual divine blueprint. The blocks that manifest as physical illness or limiting beliefs keep people separated from achieving their fully realized self. These processes can develop at a very slow pace, like a caterpillar's transformation into a butterfly. Yet Dr. Edvige's work helps her client remove these blockages, but at a much faster rate, generating powerful, life-altering results. She holds a doctorate in metaphysical science, is a certified Theta Healing practitioner, and is also experienced in Reiki and non-touch pranic healing. Of course, what we want to profile tonight, besides her wonderful career, is her book, You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening. Great title. And the subtitle is Journey to Discovering Your Soul Purpose, Joy, and Abundant Life. And this chronicles her own awakening process and provides guidance for others who want the fast track to higher consciousness without fearing the rapid changes one can experience. Okay, so without further ado, I'd love to bring Dr. Edvige onto the show. Hello, Doctor. How are you?
Hello, hello, John, Alejandra. Thank you for having me on. I am doing well.
Well, I've
thank
been
you.
Looking forward to this. And
thank you.
You know, when Jackie contacted me, it was like, yep, I knew instantly. I want her on because you're so in alignment with what we're about, and it was like an instant, yeah. You know, I didn't have to think about it at all. And so I'm so glad. I mean, luckily it wasn't too long a wait, and we have you on and before the end of the year here. But
absolutely.
Yeah, I got to ask you before I, you know, hit the harder, or not so much harder, but the more serious questions is, I got to know, okay, who was it? Was that, did the 49ers play in 98, or who were the teams there? And
what
did you see when you were there?
Okay, I don't know if anyone ever been to a Super Bowl that's listening, but they have a whole week worth of events called the NFL Experience. And that was the year Denver, and they played, I want to say Minnesota, because I'm pretty sure they played Minnesota. As I remember seeing like Cheesehead type thing, and I know they were playing Denver because I had done a gig in Colorado and went to Mile High Stadium, and I'm not even a football fan, but I remember doing those things, and so I knew that it was Denver, and I was familiar with that one particular team. So, yeah, it was in San Diego in 98, and it's the coolest thing. I still have all of my passes, my halftime pass and what have you. And so during the NFL experience, again, it's a week-long event, and so oh my gosh, it's amazing. And every day there's something going on, and they have this big tent where they have the main entertainment, and that was us. And so all the celebrities that were at the event, you know, all week long, they would come in, and so we would perform to imagine, you know, the pictures are amazing of all these people coming in. And then the day before the actual Super Bowl, they have what's called a throwback game, I believe is what it's called. Remember, this has been years. And so the throwback game are all the retired players, the most valuable players or whatever, all of the retired ones, and they have this game. And so there's about 65,000 people in the same, you know, stadium watching this game. And so I sang the national anthem for that, which was really cool.
Did you? Wow.
Yes.
That's wonderful to have
did.
Such a beautiful voice.
So
I mean, you don't get to sing there unless your voice is really good. So that's
really good.
A lot
and
about
it was a Motown year. So it was all about Motown that year. And so,
Ooh. You
know, at that time I was singing at the Motown Cafe in New York Hotel Casino in Vegas. And so they invited us girls to come out and perform. So we did ESPN. We did all sorts of stuff in our.
Wow. Well, Motown is one of my favorite. I mean, I'm an old soul R&B and all of that, but I love Motown. Well, how wonderful for you to at least have, you know, I mean, now you have this great career, but you had a previous great career too. And, that's really great. But now, tell us a little more about yourself. in terms of, you know, when you kind of went down this path. You know, was
yeah,
it from your different experiences that you had,
so,
you know, in medical school?
It started when I was a little girl. You know, and so many people, we have those experiences as children and something happens and we'll stop it. So my parents met in New York, you know, my father from Martinique, my mom from Jamaica. They married in New York, bought 5 acres down in South Jersey where I grew up. And so when they built that house, I was about 7 when we moved in, and it was normal for me to see ghosts. I mean, that was it. I could see ghosts, right? And they'd be standing in the hallway as I get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. And so I was accustomed to that. And I guess probably that was just practice for me so that I would be accustomed and okay with it. Then I was about 12 years old when I was awakened in the wee hours of the morning, and there was this tall, benevolent being of light. Totally different, completely different than a ghost, because they were very human looking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this was nothing. This was nothing human looking. It was pure light, and I mean, it was a being. And there he stood, and just this loving energy, and out my bed I went, floating up out my bedroom window and into the stars. And we flew into the cosmos, landed on a bridge, and then dove into the depths of the ocean. And these visits lasted for 6 years. So imagine this young age, literally I was able to be aware and awake as I would be hovering above me, looking at me sleeping in bed. I would go, you know, times I'd float down the hallway into my parents' bedroom, try to wake them up. They wouldn't wake up. My mom wouldn't wake up. And out the bedroom window I'd go, and out of their bedroom window. And so my mom said, they're here to teach you, go. And so there was never this fear. And I was always being shown creation. I was always being shown creation. And I always landed on a bridge. And I always went up into the space and down into the ocean. My dad transitioned when I was 18 years old. And that's when, you know, turned it off. It's time to go to work. And I did that. I actually became a blackjack dealer in Atlantic City, of all places.
Wow.
But then I know, isn't that crazy? I
no,
moved out
great.
To Vegas in 89.
All your eclectic history.
Yeah, it's like, this is it. This is the story. But so many people have these experiences, and then life happens. And so really it's about showing you how you get back on that path. And so, you know, living in Las Vegas, singing, having a wonderful time, married, in 2004, en route to a photo shoot, I'm rear-ended at over 100 miles an hour. This was my new beginning, right? You know, one of those universal laws, new beginnings. And so I go into the light. And a voice says, you're here to bring them into the light. Now, my life didn't flash before me. Literally, I went into this hovering space, and it was beautiful, this golden white energy. And I'm just standing in it, not really knowing where I am, but I could feel the peace, the love, and it was just a nice place. And so I imagine it was the second impact on the vehicle. I don't know. You know, because our car spun around, I heard, 2 or 3 times, and then it was broadsided on my side of the vehicle that stopped it. And so I was back in the vehicle holding the steering wheel, and I'm like, oh, where am I and what just happened? And I look over at my mom, my passenger, and her seat had fallen back. And she's like, dear, we were just in a car accident. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, there you have it. That was my fork in the road. And then they started showing up. So, oh, this is so exciting. I'll never forget. A still point of brilliant, bright, white light came into my room in the wee hours around 4:13 in the morning, my day, so my power number at that time. And it was so blindingly bright that it woke me up, and I'm looking at it with my eyes open, and it stops right in front of my face and turns to pictures. And I'm like, well, what on earth is this? And I heard a voice say, we're just testing, we're checking. And that was gone. And then about 2 weeks later, this ultraviolet light comes into my room, again, really blindingly bright. I open my eyes, there it is, I can see it, and it turns into the pineal gland, and it has those electric currents all around it, and it begins to grow in intensity, and all I could think was, this thing's about to ignite or spark or something, and it's going to hurt, oh my, and that's exactly what it did. it was like boing, 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 boing. It got faster, faster, and more intense, and it ignited and sparked right in my eyes. I shut them really quick because the burn was so intense, and it opened everything up. The next thing I knew, I was being visited by beings, and I had this being, the Syrian woman, come in and say, "We're ready to teach you meditate." And that began this journey of learning how to meditate and, you know, hearing literally inside voices and outside voices. And then all the visitation started, and being surrounded by dimensional beings, being touched in the middle of the night. I'll never forget where it came in on my right wrist, and it was this gentle, sweet touch, and all I said was yes. And before I knew it, I was standing in front of the Council of 12. I would lay there, and I would be embraced in the middle of the night, opening my eyes to see a beautiful orb leaving the room. I mean, it was so profound. And even then, I didn't understand all that was going on. I knew there was this awakening, right? But I didn't understand exactly what all the awakening was about. I started to read. I started to do, you know, to study, found myself going to workshops. And then the first teacher was ready to teach me, and it was so crazy. He, a bell would ring. Whether I would hear a telephone or the doorbell, I would hear a bell in the wee hours of the morning. They taught me how to go to my safe place. So there I would go in this altered state to my safe place, and that teacher would be there. And I'm like, okay, this is cool, beautiful little place, right, that I created. And the next thing I know, I'm out somewhere looking at this big screen of, I don't know if it's soul review or just seeing a previous lifetime on planet, off planet, of some event going on. And I would observe it. And when it was done, the screen would go black. I would be back in my safe place. This teacher would be sharing what it meant. I even saw future things happening, right? And where the world is globally, and just all sorts of stuff. And then when it was done, when he was finished discussing with me, I would leave and come back into my bed. So that was early on how I would leave. And all of that has changed because, you know, everything comes in these cycles and these waves. So that was early on how this awakening and this path that I'm on started. And that's how it started.
Yeah, have you noticed, too, this seems to happen to a lot of people where you get a lot of things in the beginning. I think it's to encourage you, and then I feel like they raise the carrot up a little higher. So it's like, okay, you know, it's sort of like, and the experiences are not as often, although you're growing and everything is more profound. You don't have as maybe many experiences as you go on as you do in the beginning. Did you find that, too?
So true. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So these waves are just amazing. And I tell you, back then, someone was coming to visit me every 2 weeks. So what it led to back then was literally September, I'll never forget, September of 2012, as I lay there pulsing and vibrating and watching the colors just moving around in my vision. You know what that's like.
Yes.
And it was 24/7 pulsing and vibrating. And actually, that's still the case. So I lay there. And I looked up, and there was this still point of light. And I thought, well, that's new. And it started to descend. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on? And as it grew closer and closer, it was the form of a body. It was a white body. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I know what this is. This is my light body. And it moved into me. Imagine, I could feel it moving in. I could feel it sinking up. I could feel all sorts of electrical things going on. And I'm like, whoa, that was intense. Whew. And then shortly thereafter, doing sacred ceremony and things, they told me that I held within me the templates for Creator for 5, 6, and 7D. And I actually did ceremony at the Valley of Fire, and the templates turned on. And that's when I started doing work on people. That was amazing. But yeah, back then, definitely, they were visiting me every 2 weeks. But now, wow, it's gone to a whole new level with having my light body.
Yeah, I think
it's
more integration, maybe. That's what it is. It's like, you know, rather than more of the great bells and whistles, which we all like, it becomes much more solidified. And I know solidified is not really the word.
Yes.
More grounded in
it's
to your reality
integrated.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you bring it here
my
to you, right?
Yeah.
You bring it here to you. Absolutely. You know, and you have those experiences. I mean, last year I went to Mount Shasta, and boy, that was beautiful. I mean, I walked through all 12 levels of 5D with my eyes open. So literally I watched as this veil came in and split the dimensions. And then the next level, you know, the colors change, and the next level the colors change, and then one level I started saying the Lord's Prayer because I'm like, what the heck is going on? I'm seeing all this with my eyes open, right? And so I start saying the Lord's Prayer. Well, all of a sudden it gets faster and faster off my tongue, and before I know it, it's flying out to the cosmos, and the platinum rays, the 12 rays of God, come back one by one, hitting me literally. And just taking that in and then receiving the violet flame, I mean, it was just awe-inspiring.
Oh,
and then at the 12th level, there was the kingdom. And I was standing there at the foot of the, you know, the woods looking, and there was the kingdom looking back at me. And I'm like, whoa, this is like an emerald city. And that's what it looks like in the golden path. That's what I was looking at.
Yeah, it's cool. I was there. I'd been there a few times. I live in California, so it's not too far. But I was there last year as well. Yeah,
uh-huh.
A few days. And I have to go back to what you said about the pineal gland is a situation. I work a lot with the pineal, with myself, of course, people as well, because I feel it's really key. And I've been mm-hmm. doing that. Well, I've been actively in the work about 30 years professionally, but, you know, in the last definitely 20. You know, that's been a really important thing. But I love that you said the ultraviolet because, you know, being in color healing, you know, we all know about the transmitting violet flame and all the different other rays and flames of creation. But ultraviolet, usually people don't talk about. And I, I've been giving it just as much of importance as so I thought, maybe I should try the ultraviolet with the pineal, and you know, instead, I use platinum and all that too. But that's interesting. Mm-hmm. That there seemed to be definitely something with that. So my creative side's going, let me work with that a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, that
like,
was the color
that
came
little
in.
Piece there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the color that came in, and I mean, it was like blinding.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Can't forget that.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But
one
of the things
amazing.
That's interesting. Have you? I know a few years ago there were different aspects of the transmitting violet that have come in, like the clear, the transmitting clear violet and the magenta violet and the maroon violet and the silver violet. And so I ended up documenting about 20 some of these.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's cool. It's sort of like another aspect that's coming in now of the violet flame, which, you know, Saint Germain brought many, many years ago, but it's sort of like everyone's now ready for more of the other aspects as well as the other colors in their flame component. But anyway, don't get me started on my favorite subject here because this is your time.
Oh, I know. I know the flame. Well, you know, and the golden violet flame is the ascension flame, right?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. I just love to talk of ascension and color with somebody else. It's really great. But I do want to find out more about what you're doing. Now, I mean, I know you wrote the book to document, I think, your experiences and also where you're going with that. And was there an inspiration that came up that said, you know, I need to write this in a book?
Oh my God! So early on, before all of the experiences, right? And I just knew that there was something going on. And I think this was like the early experience with them coming in and saying, meditate. I went to a workshop in Sedona, and at that workshop, this woman approached me and said, are you writing yet? And I said, no, I don't write. And a few months later, I'm at an event here in Vegas, and I'm approached by another person, and she says, they want you to know you're loved. Are you writing yet? And I said, I thank you for the love, and no, I don't write. And then literally months later, I'm introduced to this person. I call him, and turns out he channels Archangel Michael. Michael comes in and says, it's within your blueprint you're supposed to write. And I'm like,
there's the three times.
Okay.
You'll hear it three times, right?
Yes, exactly. And I said, and what am I writing about? And he said, you will know. And that's when all the experiences started. I'm like, gotcha. understood.
Yeah.
And so I documenting these experiences because they were just so profound. I mean, everything from, I'll never forget, opening the refrigerator one morning to make breakfast and an outside voice said, no more meat. So when you start to hear outside, back then, my husband and I owned a store, and as I was driving up to it one day, got a flat tire, and I let that flat tire annoy me, right? Because, okay, I'm outside of my little routine. Back then, I was still on autopilot, and I was out of my routine. Well, my husband was out of town. I was back home, and right around 4:13 in the morning, an outside voice said, disconnect from an uneven temper. Well, I nearly jumped and hit the ceiling, and I'm like, who said that? And the voice said it again, disconnect from an uneven temper. And from that moment, I knew how important it was to stop reacting, to go into the space of my heart and begin to respond from that space. They said, love is all there is. And so I'm like, wow, these are pearls. I got it.
They are.
And so as they started to come in more and more, take me off planet, show me different things, and then show me how to get through the process, then that's what I documented. And what I learned from the experience, whether it was a past life regression or retrieval or, you know, a whole phase of lucid dreaming, being able to rewind dreams and play them out, changing them. I'm like, what the heck is that about, right?
Isn't
so
that fun? I mean,
Isn't that amazing?
Especially if it's not going the way you want it to, like, okay, you know, backtrack now, we're going to make this, and to have that ability in those dreams to say, you know, this isn't the way I want it to be.
I want it to
Let
play
me
out.
Reverse, yeah, reverse, go back in time, or, you know, reverse it around, and then you can play it out the way you wish it to be.
And
I mean, we're so strong as creators, we don't know that, you know.
We don't know that. And that is a wonderful way to change the programming, right?
Absolutely.
You don't like something that's hard, you know, you're harping on this one thing. You have this event, especially the inner child stuff, especially the wounded inner child. Go back to when you had that experience where you felt like you weren't being shown enough love and let your parents oodle you and smother you with love and change it. So all of those things, what I share in my book, because that's what they were teaching me, all of these different processes. And it's so funny because back then, again, as I started this documenting, I was then guided, okay, you're going to close your store now and you're going back to school. I'm like, really? But I didn't like school the first time around. I'm like, okay, fine. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, what am I taking? And literally I see this whole list light up as I'm in meditation, and I see one particular line on this paper light up. And when I finished meditation, I went and looked, and it said I was going to get my, you know, doctorate in metaphysical science. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, now what am I writing my thesis on? Well, little did I know that I wound up writing it on how to reprogram your subconscious. And I called it, why is this happening to me again? And it was so funny because back then I didn't know there were two ways to awaken. You have a near-death experience or you have to reprogram your subconscious. And so they had me write a thesis on what? How to reprogram your subconscious. Is that just amazing? And what would I be doing now? How to reprogram your subconscious. So then it was time to write my dissertation. And I'm like, okay, what am I writing it on? So here it is, bold in my face, religion and the changing face. I'm like, oh, stop. So again, we're changing the paradigm, right? And all religion is in the same house, just a different room. And so stop beating yourself up. Step outside the box, right? And realize that you are the church. It's within you, that you are the temple. It's within you, right? And you are the Christ. It's in you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that book. I remember Gina Sermonara, I think her name was. There were so few books back when I was growing up because I was always, always open and into this. And, you know, there was just a handful of books, Ruth Montgomery and a few others. I remember Gina Sermonara, and she did one on, was Many Mansions? I think it was on past lives, but, you know, how that I just thought of that, Many Mansions, and because, like, all the different rooms. You know, and different roads up the same mountain. You know, it's just
you know,
all religion.
Yeah.
You know, all you know, deep religions, you know, the major religions, all live up to the same thing, to the same point, and you know, there isn't
absolutely
any feeling with the founders of
creator doesn't care
the other ones. They all relate to each other, you know, and anything that is separate is just what the, you know, the followers have made. You know, that, oh, this one is so,
you know, that's funny, because the very first experience, wow, I found myself in this room, and this room was about 10 by 10, ornately furnished in these antiques, and there was a doorway that led to another room, but there was no hallway in between. It was just another room, and so I walked into the next room, and again, it was ornately furnished, about 10 by 10, and I walked into the third room, and I thought, well, wouldn't it make more sense just to bring the walls down? And I'm like, whoa, okay. Then I find myself walking down a hallway, and as I'm walking down this hallway, there's literally hundreds, if not thousands, of these beautiful, beautiful sheets of fabric, like chiffon and all these jewel tones, all hanging, and as I'm walking under them, and they're hitting me one by one in the face, like the veil's being lifted. And as I get to the end of it, there is this woman, this being, standing there saying, we are ready to teach you, meditate. So, yes, I actually had that experience of the walls coming down.
You know, maybe that's why, this is sort of silly, but, you know, I love the HGTV network because I love the house renovations and, you know,
Aren't they the best?
You know, take a house and they, what are they doing lately? Now it's the concept of the open concept. And I just thought of that, you know, like it's a big thing now to tear down the walls and have a bigger space for homes now instead of all these, and you know, the older homes are all very boxy, you know.
Right? Mm-hmm. The energy can just move about with freedom, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Doesn't it just feel better? Even just saying it feels better.
I know.
And so
that's why I've always been attracted to lofts, the high ceiling and the way open. They just create different areas for different things, but it's all one big open, you know, the artist lofts that people often live in. I thought, oh, it would be so cool to live in one of those. And it's so tall, you know. I don't know if you get this, but when I'm in a more closed space, it feels like my aura is trying to get, it keeps hitting the walls and it's trying to move out, and I feel a little bit suffocated until I can adjust to it.
A little? A little?
Well,
oh my gosh.
I minimize that.
Yeah,
because eventually sometimes you have to adjust depending on what the situation is. So I managed to adjust, but it wasn't fun. Yeah,
isn't that interesting? And that takes some effort and consciously being aware that we are so expanded that these confined spaces really, really, really make you feel claustrophobic.
Oh
my goodness!
Gosh.
Even walking
Absolutely.
Through the airport, I'm like, what the heck is going on here? It's like,
okay,
bring me back in, because I feel like I'm literally walking outside and above the airport, you know?
Well, it's getting worse to be on planes, I've noticed. I really haven't to, you know, what I've been doing
that.
Is doing my power breathing when I get a little, you know, tense. You know, I do my soft, you know, metaphysical, you know, in and out breath work. It's the only thing to sort of calm everything down. I used to love to fly, and I don't know, it's just now it's harder.
Not anymore. It's so hard now because we're so expanded, and it's like, okay, what am I going to do? Take a Dramamine and relax and breathe and breathe and breathe, because it is, it's like that. The more we're expanded, the more we don't like being on planes.
Give me a boat, though. I love to be on that could be
open,
out on the ocean.
It's open, I'm fine. But as soon as it's confined, we've so expanded and we've become multidimensional. You know, oh my gosh, talk about multidimensional. Now I look and everything is pixelated. Everything moves. I can look at a wall and see the movement in the wall.
Oh,
and sometimes
everything just shimmers. I have that for a lot of years. I was thinking, okay, I must be battling between two dimensions, and so I just sort of accepted it. But what happens is that you look at everything and you can see everything shimmering, like everything's vibrating. And then things are now starting to move around me. And it's like, okay, I didn't ask for telekinesis, you know, but there again, you know, these things just come out.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I
well, this is so fun to talk to you. We got to have you back. But let's get to
okay.
some of the things that are important for you. You know what? Let's take that break because it is halfway through. But it's just going to be a couple minutes, everyone. So don't go away too far. And you'll, for those who aren't, you're going to love the music. It's by Alea Dow. And they're just excerpts, and they're short. And so it's about 2 minutes here total that we're taking a break. But the first one is called Angel Healing. Let me see if I can find it here on the switchboard here. Okay. And this is about a one-minute or so excerpt from her. And the second one will be Whale Song. And I don't know what albums they're off of. I had her on recently, but you could just Google her and find out and where you can get the full CD. So anyway, I'm going to... I'm your host, Alejandra, and we have Dr. Edvige with us today, the author of You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening. And we've been having a great talk here, and it's to the point where it's like, oh, my God, we only have a little bit of time left, and so I'm hopefully we can, you know, urge her to come back in the new year, but we'll work on her. Anyway. So let's get, there's so much to ask you, so I'm going to kind of maybe sprint ahead a little bit and ask you about your, how you work with the light body and, you know, a little bit maybe about your process of light code activating and, or just how you work with people. I know that a lot of the work is to clear blocks, of course, which is a main thing that many of us are working with and helping people, you know, move through and clear their traumatic experiences mm-hmm. and all that kind of thing. So whatever you'd love to say about that, we'd love to hear.
Beautiful. Thank you. So, you know, this is quite interesting. There are these six-dimensional beings that were working with me, bringing in my light body, and they stayed.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to hear them.
Great.
And I also have this divine feminine aspect that is with me, and she speaks a light language. And so what happens, I don't know, it's turning on, by the way. So I connect with the person, and yes, we do the basic things of clearing chakras, because you know that's such an important thing, to have this energy cleared, and what traumatic experiences or resistance that you have at any one of those chakra points, we work on clearing all of that. Calibrating, able to work on your neural system and clearing neurons, turning on DNA, and bit by bit raising your vibration, raising your frequencies. And when you have them at a place where you can sustain higher frequencies, and at that point, it's the most amazing thing to see someone's light body actually show up. It's like, oh, hello, do you see me? And we are looking at your light body, and literally we bring your light body in. So I've been blessed with being able to bring in light bodies and activate light bodies in people. Once we've cleared enough of the stuff out, you know, and it's a process. And to understand that process is the first stage, I would call it transmutation, right, where we're letting go of lack, fear, guilt, shame, pain, doubt, all of those things that we've taken on lifetime after lifetime and that we're still holding on to. So whatever's in your emotional body that needs to be cleared, or in your mental body that needs to be cleared, or the spiritual body, what have you. And so we deal with those things session after session to clear. And as you're clearing all of that stuff, you're beginning to feel lighter. And as you begin to feel lighter, you're moving into the transformation. And that's where you're actually able to hold some of those higher energies, those higher frequencies. You may start to pulse and vibrate. You may see colors when you close your eyes. You may see the all-knowing eye. I'll never forget the first time I saw the all-knowing eye looking down at me.
Oh, isn't that great?
Well,
oh, I'm so glad.
Like
that,
the coolest
you
thing.
Know, you and I, we have so much paralleling. It's just amazing because not everyone sees like the eye. And it's like, oh, good, another person. But that's since a kid I've been seeing that. Yeah.
Yeah, coolest thing. And so, you know, we're moving you through that stage because you're really clearing stuff and you're able to let go. And now you're starting to calibrate or recalibrate and you're holding higher energies. And then we go through that stage of transformation. And as we're nearing the end of really transmuting all that old stuff, and now you're holding those higher vibrations, you're becoming a match. You're in the flow of source, the flow of your monad. And now your light body can move into you, and we activate your light body. And then from that place, wow, it's like the journey is just beginning, because now your monad, right, your I am presence, begins the descension into you. And let me tell you, when now you've been the one that has, they know, and I say they, I'm meaning your monad, your I am presence knows now that you are the soul extension that's going to ascend. Your other 11 soul extensions now get absorbed back into the monad, and now everything is focused on you and your process of moving through so that you can complete your ascension, not only for yourself, but for your whole soul extension, right? It's like so profound. It's so profound when you know this process is going on, and you can feel it. I mean, there isn't a moment when I don't feel the presence of my I am presence, when I'm not, you know, connected and just feeling these energies. I tell you, recently, and it was in September that it happened, I woke up and I was looking at this Shambhala. And it was floating right in front of me. It was this big, beautiful, golden place. And it was floating like it had floating on a white billowy cloud. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, whoa. And it was so clear. It's like I had 3D glasses on. And then as I looked down, my God cord was connected to it. And I thought, whoa,
yeah,
how amazing is this? Right? So that's what this process is like. I take you through the stages so that you understand, yes, you're getting off autopilot, and we're going to begin to work with you to clear, to let go, to transmute fear so that you can move more into love. And as you're moving more into love and awakening all of those aspects of yourself that aren't awake and are still, you know, trapped and have resistance, and clearing past lives and clearing those contracts that you took on, you know, you may have taken a vow and you know, 100 years ago or 100 lifetimes ago, a vow of poverty, and you wonder why you're still in lack and, you know,
yeah,
scarcity.
A lot of
we
people have
to clear
that.
Vows. Yeah, a lot of people have it. You know, again, that inner child stuff. So we work to peel away layer by layer and then to mentally put you in the right place so that you begin to take charge of your thoughts, understanding that if you have a positive thought, it's going to lead you to a positive emotion, which will then lead to a positive outcome. If you have a negative thought, it's going to lead you to a negative emotion, and it has to lead you to a negative outcome. So it's about understanding that and beginning to change your thought process, change your thinking, change your life. So we move through all of that, you know, in these sessions and move you through the process. And so it's amazing. And again, wow, for me, these beings that work through me, I'm, you know, it's like I'm being overshadowed. They're in.
Yes. Or what they call it, overlighted, too.
Yeah.
You know, in other words,
so,
we're overlighted. And absolutely, I mean, I couldn't do the work I do without, I call my Cracker Jack team of different level guides that work with us. I mean, you know, they get the credit, really. I mean, we're a good vehicle for it.
It's
and, you know, we are a part of the team. But, boy, I tell you, without them, would we do the work that we do?
We
you know, it's just,
It's so profound. It's so profound, you know, and I just love it, you know. And it's so beautiful when she speaks, you know, and it's so interesting. If like, if I were to be quiet right now, she would just start talking. And it's so perfect because, well, she wants to talk. So I'm just going to say a quick hello. Oh, boy, feel that. She's actually doing a clearing. Let's move everyone into your heart and just allow your hearts to expand. Feel the love the Creator has for you. Oh, there we go. Whoa.
I know. It's so interesting to listen to light. I know three other people that do light language, and each has their own, you know, it's dependent on which one they're looking into. Yeah, and each language is fascinating when it comes through. And we just had one, that James Ellis, he's been a regular. I think he was on last week or the week before. Who he did light language too. So it's great to have it on the show. Thank you so much. Because the people
You're
that
welcome.
Listen to this for the archives, and I always suggest everyone download the archive because there's things in there. There's lots of nuggets that you miss when you first hear it. Or, of course, if you miss the show, and, you know, this is something that people can play over and over to help facilitate. Would you like to take a call? This person's been on for a while waiting, and their hand is up, so we can check to see if they have a question for you.
We'll see what happens. Okay.
All right. And maybe they just put their hand up. Hi, area code 303, you're on the air. Did you have a question for Dr. Edvidge?
Yes, I do have a question. Hi, this is Ibitar.
Hello, Ibitar.
Hi, and I've listened to you before on other other shows. And I wanted to ask you, I have been going in and out of dimensions for quite some time now. But when I do this, I don't know if I'm just open to other beings from other dimensions or not. And I feel like I have a block or an attachment or something from they're not, you know, beings from this planet or from this 3D dimension.
Okay. And so what's your question? Are you doing, you know, it's so, it's a lot of fun when we begin to awaken, isn't it? And it's a lot of fun to explore and to go out there and to move about, and whether you're in meditation or just an altered state and you're finding yourself in other worlds, other dimensions. But we have to be responsible and very mindful that we always, until you become like an untouchable, as they call it, that you're doing the work to protect yourself, right? You're grounding. Mm-hmm. And you're protecting. And a wonderful protection is just to call in Archangel Michael and the beautiful blue energy of divine will and protection, and to surround every cell, every molecule, to surround every chakra. And every day, make sure that you're protecting yourself. Make sure, especially in the beginning when you don't know all that's happening to you and you're still maybe going into the astral plane, that you zip up, that you protect your aura, so that you have to be proactive in these things. Right? Mm-hmm. And then if beings show up, you have to quantify. You have to say, look, are you of the light? Because they have to answer you. And so if they say yes, then feel free and be safe and secure and move about with them. And if they don't answer, then command, right? Because understand, you are in charge. You not only have a physical body, you have a spiritual body. And that is really powerful. And so you have to then take command and say, I command you to leave, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have to be very aware at all time what you're doing, what you're allowing to come in, and what you won't allow to come in. And be very specific about that.
Yeah,
only that which is of the highest light can come near you.
Yeah, this block or whatever this is, it was, I think I was already doing going in and out of dimensions in dream time, and I wasn't consciously aware of it. I'm very consciously aware of what I'm doing now on a conscious level. So this was something that happened, like, you know, prior to me coming into this awakening on a conscious level.
Yeah, sometimes these things have been around a long time. It's just as we awaken, we start to be aware, oh, look what's there.
There's something.
They didn't know it was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's when you can do that removal. Yeah. So a wonderful answer, Edwidge, on that.
Thank you. And I would suggest getting a session. If you can book a session, and in that half hour, we can work on clearing what resistance and what stuff is there. Ooh, we just did a mini clearing on you, by the way.
Whew. Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Jay, for calling and for tuning into the show. Would you like me to put you back on mute so you can hear the rest? All right. Not much left, but we do still have a little of the show. So thank you again for calling. Whereabouts 303? What I usually ask the people calling in, where are you calling from? What state?
I'm calling from Colorado.
Colorado,
oh,
okay. I thought I kind of recognized that. I couldn't remember with 303, but it was familiar. Well, great. So I'll put you back on mute, and hopefully you'll come back to Rainbow Race in a future time. All right.
Yeah, you know,
so,
it's so important that we become mindful, you know. And think about it. We call this awakening. What does that mean? That means you have to be awake. You have to be conscious you awaken.
Conscious.
Right? And so very aware of things that go bump in the night and that you are understanding. And I share that all in the book about how to protect, how to ground, and, you know, how to clear those things that you don't particularly want around you. It's important.
Yeah. Well, now, do you have, we're going to give all your data out, of course, how to reach you, you know, if you're on Facebook or Twitter and all that kind of stuff, so we'll get those stats. But do you have anything coming up that you want to let people know about? You know, I don't know if you're doing any teaching or you have any special events, but this is a good time to let everyone know if you are doing that.
Wonderful. Thank you. You know, I actually do a once-a-month webinar. So if you go to my website and sign up for my newsletter, I'd invite you to sign up for my newsletter. My webinar, and it's once a month, it's all about ascension. And so I share for 90 minutes some tool, some principle that helps with your awakening and moving you more on that path, which, you know, is really cool. I don't have that's my class, the webinar, because it's live and you get to ask me questions right then and there. So that's pretty cool. Go to my site.
I'm doing about one a month too, unless I'm doing my series of classes. The last few months I've just I needed a little break, so I've just been doing that one webinar a month on something
yeah,
special.
Yeah, it is the holiday.
yeah, and even that, because it's not so much that, and they're 90 minutes or longer, it's the MP3 that you have to edit, and the music and all the editing and all that. It's, you know, each one is a lot of work, so it may be, you know, your only, quote, only one, but that's a lot of work to do that once a month, to prepare and everything for
that.
So, I totally get it.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
so give them your, sorry?
No, and I said, in addition to that, I actually have a subscription where I do two audios a month of additional information and different information. So, yeah, there's a lot of recording, a lot of things going on.
That's a big portion of your work day there. And then you got your clients and everything else. So why don't you give everyone your website and any other things if you're on Facebook or anything like that.
Perfect. Thank you. So the website is www.dredwige.com. So that's Dr. Edvige. That's dredwige.com. So you can find me there. You can also find me on Twitter. And actually on Twitter, it's Affirmations for a Living.
Okay. So that's the Twitter name. Okay.
Yeah.
I've been mispronouncing your name. So it's not Vige, it's Vige. I'm so sorry.
No,
the whole thing.
You know what? It's so okay because, quite honestly, we've expanded and we don't take those things personally, right? Because we're the detached observer, and as a detached observer, clearly it's like, okay, no one told her how to pronounce it, so she's doing the best she can. All right. Let's move on. And I think that's a good example for people how to not be so reactive. Because so many people would be like, well, why didn't you get it right, right? And be reactive. And that takes you outside the space of your heart. Disconnect from an uneven temper.
Yeah, even with Alejandra, you would not, I mean, you would think that one is pretty basic. I get a lot of variations. And down under, it's Alejandra because they do the hard J. So everyone in Australia and New Zealand was like, Alejandra. So I tend to go by Allie just as easier. But, and then my given name at birth was hard, too. People had a lot of trouble with that one, too. So I'm kind of used to that myself.
Yeah, exactly. So. And if I were to have a nickname, someone might say Ed, and then they would think a guy showing up. So I'm like, no. Or Eddie, or no, nothing like that. It's so,
right.
Yeah.
So, Affirmations for Living is your Twitter, and DrEdvige.com is your website. And everybody, you know, do take a look at her book, which is, again, You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening, with an exclamation point, too, which is great. I'm glad you added that in there. And that's available.
It's
really inexpensive as books go. You know, I mean, it's not. It's very affordable, so do check that out and see about the book. I have a copy, and I think you guys should get one, too. I'm really enjoying it. And sign up for a newsletter, go to the Ascension webinar, you know, and there's just a lot there. And get a private session as well, or a series. I know you have a series that you're offering as well.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Do check into, you know, this she's the real deal, guys. She is the real deal. And, in this field, it's you've been around a while.
Yeah, no kidding. I know. You know what? And that's why I put a picture on my website on my about page of me bilocating, because I want everyone to see it is the real deal. And I actually did an interview with someone this past summer and bilocated and came to her in Tennessee, and I'm in Vegas, and she stopped right dead on air.
I know, isn't that wild? Because I've had those facilities for a long time, too, and I don't know very many people that do. And frequently people will say, yeah, you came to me the night and you did this and this and this and this.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, okay. But my real love is teleportation, but I do bilocation a lot too. But I'm just saying that because it's not often I get to even say that
to
someone who is also doing it. Yeah,
isn't it fun?
I know. It's definitely a kindred sister here. So we have to go because we're running out of time here. But thank you so much, Edvige. Sorry, did I say it right, Edvige? Yes, close
indeed.
Enough.
Yes.
For being on the show, and I want to thank all people called in, people listening in, and the chat room for being with us. You know, as I often say, I do this for all of you. It's a I don't want to say it's a labor of love because it's not labor, but it's from love that I really
feeling purpose.
Do
this yeah.
show.
Yeah.
And I hope all of you love that and you feel that. And we'll be back next Monday with Sava being back doing readings. Wonderful, Sava. So in the meantime, everyone have a wonderful, wonderful week. And we won't hit the Christmas yet, but next week we got that. We are going to be on Christmas week next Monday. But anyway, have a good week. Namaste. Oops, sorry, I picked the wrong one there. Let me get my outro. Here we go. Let's see if it'll even work now that I got two running. Oh, you have my outro here.
You have been listening to
There we go.
Ways.
I haven't done that in a long time. Okay, everyone, see you next
week. We appreciate
week.
You for listening and invite you to return to future shows on Monday evenings at 9 p.m. through 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Alejandra can be contacted by email at alejandra.com.